this is. It sounds, reads just like Ephesians, doesn't it? That's by design, because it's all the same. The title, subject, text is verse 10. You are complete in Him. How's that sound to you? Well, in verse 8, he says, beware. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or elements of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 16, he says, let no man judge you, meat and drink, in respect of a holy day, a new moon. You know, I look at my phone for various reasons, and I've got a Bible concordance on there for quick access to, and they have ads at the bottom. I hate them. But anyway, so this is supposed to be a holy week. That's what it said. I don't know what's going on, you know. There ain't no such thing as a holy week. There's no such thing. Holy day. One day more holy than another. That's just, that's the tradition of men. That's what Paul's going to warn us about here. Holy days, new moon, Sabbath day. Verse 18, let no man beguile you. Verse 22, he said, all these things are to perish. Don't be fooled by the doctrines of men. So he's telling us to beware of men, deceivers. And that's what our Lord said to the disciples when he sent them out, didn't it? Beware of men. Satan is called the man of sin, and his the beast, the Antichrist, his ministers are men, and they're the deceivers. They're the deceivers. He warns us. He warns us about to beware of men. There's a young man who's been coming here. I don't know if he's listening to this right now, but he is very wary of us, of me. That's what he should be. He should be, shouldn't he? Everyone should. Try the spirits. Many false prophets are going out of the way. We need to try them. Put them to the test. How? Right here. By this. And then, and getting a little more in depth to it, Paul tells us is that if they don't preach Christ, if they're not holding forth Christ, always, all the time, all the time. Anyone says there's something more? No, there isn't. Christ is all. So he says, beware lest any man, verse 8, spoil you. That's what men spoil, is a fellow go into a town and get everything for himself. Those are the spoils. And that's what men do. They draw away disciples after themselves, not Christ. They don't want them to follow Christ. They want to follow them. They want to be part of their congregation, part of their church, part of their organization. That's what men want. They don't want people in the kingdom of God per se. They want them in their church. Right? That's the way they come from sea and land to make proselyte. That's what proselyte means. Follow us. No. John one time had two disciples. I loved it. He had two disciples, and there was Christ. He said, behold the Lamb. And they quit following John and started following Christ. John said, my work is finished. That's what he had two church members, lost them both. And he said, revival's come. That's a fact. That's a fact. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy is human reasoning, opinions, whatever man thinks about God, about man, about life, about, that's philosophy, human philosophy. Greek, you've read, some of you have read Greek philosophy. Did it do you any good? Aristotle and Plato and all these, did it do you any good? God's word says, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? It's just foolishness. The world by wisdom doesn't know God. But by the preaching of the gospel, which is, they call foolishness. Humanism, philosophy, our universities, our schools, our colleges, the world is full of it. And so therefore full of themselves and full of sin and have missed God and missed Christ. It's not philosophy. Vain deceit, verse 8 said, vain deceit. Vain means empty. Vain means empty. Empty knowledge, useless knowledge. Some of you did take philosophy or sociology, didn't you? Psychology in school, didn't you, Ron? You just had to, didn't you? You wouldn't have taken it. What good did it do you? It's all about man. And man's worth, man's works, man's value, man. The scriptures, the truth is the opposite of everything God said. Everything man said. Opposite. And it's vain. It's empty. Man is full of vanity. That is vain conceit. He thinks he's something when he's nothing. Thinks he knows something when he knows nothing. Thinks he can do something when he can't do anything without God. It's all him. In him we live and move and have our being. What's the meaning of life? God. Christ. Yeah, so beware, he says, vain deceit. It's lies. Paul warns and warns and warns that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They themselves are deceived. They're very zealous. They're very bold. They believe what they believe. Yeah, they believe lies. Satan's the master of it. And he's behind it. He's the father of lies. And the way he lies and what appeals to people is flattery. That's what he did to Eve. You'll be as God. He's been lying ever since, and all his ministers are liars. Anybody preaches man is a liar. And God's ministers preach Christ, the man. Mm-hmm. Behold, the man. Christ Jesus. He's all. The tradition of man. Look at verse 8. After the tradition of man. Go to Mark 7 with me. Our Lord says this 4 times. In Mark chapter 7, about the tradition of men. Mark chapter 7, the Lord deals with it. And this is, always has been and is now. Men hold their traditions, what they've been handed down, what their fathers believe, their grandfathers believe, what their churches and denominations believe. That's what people hold to. Doesn't matter what God's word said. Mark 7. Said the Pharisees, verse 3, except they wash often, holding the tradition of the elders. Verse 4, they come to the market, they wash. They don't eat many other things there be, which they have received, hold as a washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables. Verse 5, and the Pharisees and scribe, they noticed his disciples weren't washing thoroughly. Well, that's pretty appropriate right now. But anyway, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? They eat bread with unwashing hands. And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. See, always call them hypocrites. You're playing a part. What you do is be seen of men. That's why you wash. One time he said, you've washed the outside of the cup, and the inside's full of extortion, he said. Cleaned up your life, but God looks on the heart. Verse 6, he answered and said, Isaiah said, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. Empty religion. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Read on. Laying aside the commandment of God. Never mind what God's word said. This is what our denomination said. They hold the tradition of men, like washing of pots and other such like things you do. Verse 9. He said, and if full well you reject the commandment of God, you may keep your own tradition. Look it down at verse 13. Make the word of God of no effect through your tradition. Now look at this. This shocked all those religious people. Verse 14. He called all the people unto him and said, now, come here. I want you to listen to me. Hearken to me. Every one of you. And you need to understand this. Verse 15. There is nothing from without a man entering in him can defile them. Oh my. They lost it. Well, we touch not, taste not, handle not. We keep the law. We don't do this. We do this. We don't do this. If that's your salvation, Christ died in vain. That's how serious it is. If righteousness come by the law, Christ is standing there. The second Adam, the covenant head, the only mediator between God and man, the only righteous man God will accept, the only person God will hear. And they said, we don't need you. We're doing fine without you. We're going to work our way to God. Okay. You see, it's all in Him. It's all up to Him. And like striving, we've been looking at this. What? How do you get into the kingdom? Ask. Not do. Ask. How do you get into the kingdom? Believe. Look. That's not enough. Yes, it is. Christ is enough. God says, my son's enough. I'm satisfied with him. Look to him. Look and be saved. He's God. There is none here. Boy, I just told the gospel. Beware. Beware. And it says in our text, he says, beware. Vain deceit, the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, the elements. That which is flesh is flesh. There's nothing you can do with by your flesh to inherit the spirit world. That's what Christ said. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit. And not after Christ. Not after Christ. Down in verse 19, it says, they don't hold the head. There's some that are not holding the head. Which all the body, by joints and bands of nourishment, minister, knit together. See, it's all up to the head. And look at verse 10. It says, you're complete in him. He's the head of all principalities and power. All right, look at verse 9. It says, now in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness. Chapter 1, verse 19. We've already looked at this. Oh, my. We didn't scratch the surface. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All we need to know and believe about God and about eternal life is in Jesus Christ. He summed it up these three ways. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That takes in everything, the way, the truth, and the life. Truth about what? Anything. He's it. The way. Life. The meaning of life. What is it? Either have the Son, have life. It's all right there. All fullness in Him. Verse 9 says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 1 Timothy 3:16. This ought to be a memory verse. This is, what a verse. 1 Timothy 3:16. Most people know John 3:16. Well, they can quote it. They don't know it. But 1 Timothy 3:16. My. This is just as marvelous. That's John 3:16. You have it? 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, this is without controversy. There is a controversy among men. No controversy. This is true. Great is the mystery of godliness. How man can know God, be with God, godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That man named Jesus, and that is the man who made, this is the one who made the planet. The babe in that mother's arms made her. I don't understand. No, we will never fully understand it. Because it's a mystery. We believe. Justified in the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, justified him, declared him to be the one, the Christ. That's what his name means, Christ, the anointed one. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh. All the fullness of the Godhead in a body. Jesus Christ. He is God. They didn't believe it when he came. They said, you're just a man. You make yourself to be God. No, I am. I always do. They said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you. You believe not because you're not my sheep. My sheep here, they know me. Who are you? I am that I am. I am God, manifest in the flesh. God, the Father. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He said, you're not 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? He said, Abraham. Moses wrote me. You can't be. You're just a man. People really don't believe more than that now, do they? They still think of him, refer to him as Jesus. They call him Lord, because that's who he is. We call him God, because that's what he is. Godhead bodily. Godhead bodily. Father. God the Father is a spirit. We'll never see God. No man has seen God at any time. Can't see. But Job said, I'm going to see God. Well, who's he going to see? Jesus Christ. The only begotten bodily image. Let us make man, God began by saying, let us make man in our image, our own image. All of them together. Father's a spirit. The Spirit's a spirit. The Son was made flesh. A body has to have prepared me. Why? To speak, to deal with human beings. to condemn sin in his flesh. That's right. Because that's what we are. Flesh is sin. Body of sin. And Christ was made flesh and then made sin. It's all up to him. It's in him. It's in him. All the fullness of the Godhead body. He's the only God we will ever see. He's the only God we'll ever hear from. He's the Word. He's the voice of God. God said, it just pleases me. Please, he made a whole universe for his Son. Now, such a mystery. Boy, you're talking about, I'm talking about things too wonderful for me. But this is the truth. All right. Verse 10 says, now, you are complete in him. He's the head of all. Principality and power. You're complete in him. What this is talking about, and Paul wrote it in Ephesians and Colossians, all through the scripture. Is this union God's people have with Christ, in Christ. Like a child in the womb. the child in the womb. Everything that mother is, the child is. The child owes its life to that mother, right? In her, it lives and moves and has its being. Born of water. When she gives birth, there's water and blood. What a picture that is of our Lord. We're in Him. In Him. Child in the womb. Everything she does, the child does. Whoever loves her, loves it. Can't love one, not love the other. If she's accepted, the child's accepted. That may be a simple illustration, but it's as good as I can come up with. It's this union with Christ. We're in Him. And there are just hundreds of verses that say that. In Him. This is union. All right, here it is in a nutshell. Before the world, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit purposed a kingdom of human beings. Men, women, young people. And they called it a new spiritual kingdom. They called it the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God's dear Son. The kingdom of His dear Son. Even that God, the Father, Spirit, Christ, they all agreed that Christ would be the head over it all. The husband of the bride. And so God purposed this kingdom and put all things, the whole of this kingdom, the whole of this work of salvation, all this bride of Christ that's fallen, they're forlorn, they're sinful, they're wretched. And so God vested everything, the salvation, the bringing of His people in Christ. They gave it all to Christ. Okay? Put all things in the hands. Preachers give themselves away when they say God has no hands but your hand. Then they don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know salvation. They don't know it. And that's been said for years, hasn't it? But that's the tradition of men. It's foolishness. God has no hands. We're in them. Whose hands? God does have hands. God has a body, and that body is Jesus Christ. And we're in His hands. Jesus Christ's hands. Didn't He tell His disciples when they were just amazed after He arose and didn't believe it was Him? His first thing He said was, hold my hands. See, God gave everything to Christ, like the high priest of old. The salvation, the acceptance of God, of the sacrifice, everything was placed in the high priest of old, who will go into the Holy of Holies with not without blood. But He was doing this for a lot of people. Israel, His elect. Okay? And on His shoulders were nails. Weren't they? 12 tribes. All names. On His breastplate. That's Christ's heart. On His shoulders. Jesus Christ. The weight of all of God's people was laid on His shoulders. Can He bear it? He did. He does. There's an old foolish tradition that Christ fell beneath the load of the cross. He did not. That's not in the Bible. He didn't fall down under that cross. No, sir. Well, then why did another man bear it for? Well, we've preached the whole message on that. Because we're going to bear His cross too. But He didn't need help. He didn't need help. That's a picture of how the Lord, we bear His cross. His cross. Well, God laid on Him, put on Him, on Christ, the weight of this, all this work on His shoulders. He had names on His shoulders, high priest, He had names on His breast, and it says they were engraved on the palms of His hands. Now, God said, the Spirit said, go, son. Now, just like a parable. Go, son. Save them all. They can't do it. Go. Save them. Wash them. Justify them. Sanctify them. Redeem them. Find everyone that's lost. Find them. Bring them to me. Justify them. They're guilty. Keep the law for them. Bear their blame. Bear their sin. In your body on the tree. Bear their curse. Bear their guilt. Be made their wisdom. They don't know nothing. Be their wisdom. Be their righteousness. They're just sinners through and through. Be their sanctification. Whatever you do, I'll accept on their behalf. Be their justification. Be their redemption. They can't pay for one crime. You pay it all. Do it all, son. Did it. It all depends on this. Did he do it? All of it? Is there anything left undone? Incomplete? Mm-mm. He paid it all. He did it all. He finished. Hanging on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What's finished mean? It's finished. Complete. I completed it. It's done. It's done. but what? It's done. Now what do we do? Nothing. It's done. If it's done, it's done. Everybody knows what done is. That's what that one woman said to this fellow about his religion. She said, "Your religion consists in two letters. D-O. Do, 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 do. Mine's four. D-O-N-E. Done. Done. Complete. Finish." Before he went to the cross, he took three disciples, three chosen disciples, James, Peter, James, and John, up onto a mountain for them to see who he was, really was, why he came. And there met with him two men that represent all the Bible, Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets. Okay, they met there. You know what they talked about? They talked with Christ, and the disciples were overhearing it. And they says they spoke of the death he should accomplish. What's accomplishment? Finished. Complete. Done. Nothing left to be done. It's over. The death he should accomplish. What's that? The death of death. Brought life, immortality to light through the gospel. To him give all the prophets witness. Moses wrote of him. The whole Bible is about this one who is to come. The Old Testament says someone's coming. Who? The one that's going to save you. The gospel said he's here. The epistle said he did it. He's coming back for those that he bought. He's going to take them all to glory. He's going to get every one of them he paid for. Now, where are we in the occasion? Okay, where are we in the equation? In him. In him. Nothing's up to us. Nothing. Some people say, "Well, that's whatever, antinomian." Say what you want to. This is salvation. It's in him. You're complete in him. Completely washed. Completely justified. But this Peter one time, when the Lord was washing feet, he said, "Oh Lord, don't just wash my feet. Wash me all over. My mind, my ears, my head. I just feel filthy all over." He said, "You're washed. You are washed." He said, "You're clean." In the word, I suppose. "You're clean." They didn't understand that. We don't completely understand. But we just need to know that he did it. Okay, he did it. Washed, completely justified, completely sanctified, completely redeemed, completely accepted by God on behalf of Jesus Christ. Complete. 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 You're complete in him. Don't need anything else. Is that good news? I'm having a hard time not just bursting out of that. Complete. I'm a, boy, Paul looked at it. He's the one that wrote this. The Lord wrote it because he spent most part of his life trying to keep the law. And it, oh, he's so glad his salvation under the law. Beware. All right, so he said, beware. You're complete in him. Verse 10, he's the head of all principality and power. Because he did this, God said, I've made him Lord over all, the dead and the living. And verse 11, read on with me, it says, in him are you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hand, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What does that mean? It means what that's saying is talking about Christ crucified. In his flesh. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. In his flesh dwelleth no sin. No sin. He's the second Adam. Okay? In Adam all die. In Christ all may alive. God deals with two men, Adam and the second Adam. In Adam we all die. But in Christ, if we're in Christ, we may alive. And Christ came in flesh. A body has self prepared man. It shall be perfect, God said, to be accepted. Without spot, without blemish. The flesh. The flesh. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God because we're sin. But Christ came in the flesh, a man, and kept the law perfectly. But didn't just do it, he spoke it. Loved it. And God said, I'm well pleased for his righteousness. This man, everything about it, even his flesh is holy. Why did he do this? Well, not show us how, but for us. All right, then God, in a mystery, made him to be sin. In him was no sin. In him is nothing but, in us is nothing but sin. And God switched places. Made him sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know how that's just the way it is. And his flesh was an offering to God. The soul, and his soul was made an offering. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Flesh, this body of sin. Christ condemned sin in flesh. Bore our sins in his body on the tree. All the sins of all of God's people from the beginning to the end were laid on him, put in him. And God punished all the sins of all of God's people. His blood was shed for the remission of our sin. And God satisfied. That's it. Christ crucified. Circumcision. It's cutting off of useless flesh. That's what Christ crucified did. His flesh can't inherit. Christ did it in flesh. All right, verse 12, he says, we're buried with him in baptism. So it says, we'll surely die. We're going to die. This body's going to die because it's a body of sin. It's a body of... It's going to die. It's going to die. Christ was buried with it. Buried. And that's a picture of how that if we're dead, if Christ was crucified because of our sin, and Christ was buried, that's over. Finals. You can't punish a dead man. Again, can you? If he's, all right, the law come, guilty, condemnation is death, okay, you put him to death. The law says, soul sin, made him a sin, but he's dead. Or we found something that he is guilty of. You can't dig him up and kill him again. He's dead, that's enough, okay, you're dead. You're crucified with Christ. Isn't that good news? God, no. He's not goat hunting. And he's not, he's satisfied. Dead. buried with him in baptism. Baptism, picture that. That's what we're saying when we're baptized. He said, I believe that all that Christ did it for me. I can do nothing. I believe he did it all. But he rose. If he'd have stayed dead, if he hadn't come out of that tomb, he's just a man like us. But he arose from the grave. What's that mean? God accepted. God's pleased with everything he did. And it says, but you're risen with him. Why? You're in him. You're in him. And he went back, and where did he sit out? At the right hand of the Majesty on high. What's Scripture said? We're seated in him. We're with him. We're in him. This is wonderful. And verse 12, and I got to quit. It says, through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Faith, by grace you say, through faith. That's not of yourself, it's the gift of God. And believing Christ, looking to Christ, knowing these things in part, but we do know and we believe and we trust him, we look to him, we love this so great salvation, is the operation of God on a human being, in a human being. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's the working of his mighty power. And he often takes religious people, like Saul of Tarsus, who's just so steeped in tradition and works and all of that. But surely there's something I got to do. And he completely gives them the mind to cry. Fills them with the knowledge of Christ so that they... Oh, man. He makes them have the mind of Christ. Christ is all of them. Christ is all my salvation. And quickened together. There's so much more to say. We'll have to pick it up next time. I want to go on, but we'll quit right there. You're complete. Your salvation was completely up to Jesus Christ. And he did it. Everyone that believes it, trust him, because he completed it. Okay.